Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Come back!
Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. Level 3. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci.
As we say, shout out to our boy Fred Currier, lifelong Buffalo Bill fan from Buffalo, but he spends a lot of time in Vegas. He just sent us the screenshot of him driving around right now, listening to us, I'm assuming, in a rental. Although he's actually a car dealer, so if you follow him on Twitter. See, if I'm hooking you up here, Fred. If you're looking for a car near the Buffalo area, contact our boy. It's huge over at Facili Honda and Company. They sell everything. One of the kingpins of Buffalo car dealer. Yeah, he's a car dealer. Enjoy Vegas. Stay safe, Fred. Go Bills. Justin Herbert's pick six was the only one this century to occur in a red zone in the fourth quarter of a tie game. Say what? Hold on a second. Justin Herbert's pick six was the only one this century to occur in the red zone. So why don't you just say it's the first one in 22 years or something? Like, I like this century. This century is what? 22 years old. Wow. What did we say earlier? Only the Chargers. People don't realize it, but the Chargers, they are cursed. They do have weird things that happen to them all the time, but people just don't really kind of know it. They don't feel sorry for them, you know, because it's nice weather. That's the difference. It's like Buffalo. It's like, oh, poor Buffalo. Oh, these poor guys. You know what I mean? Or Cleveland, Detroit, etc. With the Chargers, it's just not the same. It's just not the same. All right, we're talking college football. We got Chris Vanini's going to step up. And I want to talk a little bit about Roger Federer a little bit later on as well. Friday night games, Florida State and the Ville. I'm on Louisville over 5.5 season win total. They're 1-1 right now. This would be massive. Listen, if we win this game tomorrow, I'm going to win this bet for sure. Even if they don't win this game, I still think they can get there. But this would be good. Like, they win this one, we're 2-1. We settled in the conference play, and we just need to win 4 more football games. I think they can get there. Right? Look, they'll have 9 games left, and we go 4-5. Right? So this is a big game for both programs. Florida State win, and the Knoll hype will start to build a little bit. There's a buzz going on. There's a buzz down there in Tallahassee right now about this Florida State football team, right? Florida State, not quite Nebraska, because Nebraska just have lived in the past for a while. I mean, come on, Nebraska. You guys haven't been good since, Tom Osborne and stuff. Let's just call it out for what it is, right? Florida State have hung on for a little longer, but, you know, Florida State used to be a power as well, a lot like Nebraska. Are they a power now? No, but they're trying to get that buzz back and sort of turn the corner. Beating Louisville isn't like the signature win per se, but it's a massive win. It'd be undefeated, and it's a conference win. It's a big game for both programs tomorrow. Fun game tomorrow. I like Louisville. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bustle, and everybody else in between. The Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. Sports Grid Radio Network. Sirius XM Channel 159. Chris Vanini from The Athletic will join us a little bit later on. We'll talk college football and go over some of the big games this weekend. The Kansas City Chiefs do it again. They beat the Bolts 27-24. Mahomes and Reed find a way. Justin Herbert threw a pick six. Now, no fault of his own. It is what it is. I'm not, oh, he threw a pick six and it cost them the football game. It was a pick six that didn't need to happen. It was a play that didn't need to be rushed. It was a play in which they threw the football to the one guy who asked to come off the field because he could barely breathe. But all that being stated, all you need to know about the random craziness of this thing, Justin Herbert's pick six was the only one of the century to occur in the red zone in the fourth quarter of a tie game. Now, the fact that this century is really only 22 years kind of changes things a little bit, but it sounds good. You're like, the century, wow, right? But yeah, in 22 years, I'm actually amazed. You're telling me that nobody's thrown a freaking pick six in the last 22 years in the fourth quarter of a tie football game before. How has that not happened? Like, if you would have asked me if this ever happened, I'd be like, no, there's no way in hell that hasn't happened in the last 22 years. But, hey, reality and facts, right? Perception and reality. No fake news here. This is nothing but numbers, baby. Numbers don't lie. And the numbers don't lie. And the Chargers fall short once again. And I'm looking for an analogy here of who the Chargers are. Are they the Toronto Blue Jays? I think they might be. You know, you look at the Toronto Blue Jays and you're like, man, they got stars and man, that guy's good. And man, Bichette's good. Man, Guerrero's good. And man, they lost again. Right? It's just at some point, you know, you've got to.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Take it to the next level. Herbert has a lot of football left. All right? But it doesn't seem to matter where anybody is at in their career with the Chargers. It's just sort of like an episode of The Twilight Zone. They're all the same, and they're all strange. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am RNC. Vent your rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
It's level three. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bustlers, and everybody else in between, including Roger Federer. Listen, we've been football heavy, and we'll get back to the football, but we have to acknowledge Roger Federer's greatness as we just saw Serena hang the racket up. And now Roger Federer follows it up. Roger Federer announces that he will retire from professional tennis following the Laver Cup. And he will wrap things up with 20 Grand Slam championships, which is incredible. Is it the most ever? No. Is he the best ever? In my opinion, yes. You know, we sort of have to go by numbers, right? And I think Novak is screwed up. If Novak just would have gotten vaccinated, he would have won more. And we'll see what happens if he gets back on track and stuff. Alcaraz was saying the other day he's going to win 30 Grand Slams. I was thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? It's possible, but it's too bold of a prediction. You know, you can't predict. He's 19 years old. Let's just say in the next 6 years. Let's say in the next 6 years he wins half of them. Like two a year, which he is capable of doing. So let's say he wins two a year. That gets him to 12. They're like 30's a hell of a lot. But like to put in perspective, Federer's 20. Nadal's 22 or something. And Novak's 21. I think Nadal's 22, whatever. But so about Federer. So 20 Grand Slams. You know, the graciness of his game. And, you know, speaking of Laver Cup, you have Rod Laver. And, you know, Arthur Ashe was a great player, had a social impact, but not the greatest player ever type of thing. You know what I mean? We've been spoiled I think, you know, this is the one instance where a lot of times, like, you know, like LeBron and stuff, it's like, man, come on, man, settle down. You know, you're disrespecting Jordan here. This is an instance in this sport in which we are not disrespecting John McEnroe. We are not disrespecting Bjorn Borg, right? We are not disrespecting Pete Sampras. We are not disrespecting Andre Agassi. The fact of the matter is, Rafael Nadal, Novak Djokovic, and Roger Federer are the three best tennis players ever to play the game. End. Point blank. End story. End sentence. It's as simple as that. Anybody will tell you that. The greats will tell you that. I just saw an interview with Brad Gilbert tonight, who I'm a big fan of his work, big Raider fan. We got to get him on the show. We used to have him on the show. Talk Raiders and tennis. I saw an interview with Brad Gilbert tonight, and he said the same thing. Like they said, is Federer the best ever? And he said, in my opinion, even though Nadal has won two more, whatever, and you know, and Novak has won once, and they'll probably win a couple of more, whatever, you know. He said, in my opinion, Federer is the best ever. And then he said, whatever. He said, let's be real. He said, the greatest players ever are these three guys, Novak, Nadal, and Federer. So now it's just sort of your preference between them. Novak's an amazing player. Like, you could argue Novak's the best ever. Like, I wouldn't fight back against it. But this is the, you know, this is, let's, it's more than just the wins here. How about this? How about this, Matthias? You're a tennis guy. How about this? He never once withdrew from a tournament. You believe that? He never once withdrew from a tournament.
No, it's crazy. So much respect for Federer, Gabe. Massive amount of respect. Look how sad Serena was today when he retired. You know, everybody kind of felt old when Roger Federer retired today. You know, the times are definitely gone, have gone past us. And like you said with your buddy, like, he's right. It is a preference thing. It's like, do you like Djokovic? Do you like Nadal? Or do you like Federer the most? Because there's no wrong answer, essentially. Like you said, we were spoiled. We got three of the best players to ever play this game ever in our life all at the same time. Usually it's mixed up, right? But no, this time we got a trifecta.
Yeah, there's no arguing it. And the fact is, like, look, Serena, greatest women's player ever. But at the same point in time, there's not, like, multiple players of her. You know what I mean? Like you said, like, it was a treat to see Serena's career. But in yesteryear, like, you know, it was Chris Evert, Martina, you know, Billie Jean King. There was, like, a lot of, you know, top tight tier women players. Like, the men to have, like, the three best men's players at once ever play at once. And you can't really dispute it. It's not like any old timer is going to say, no, you kids don't know what the hell you're talking about. I'm no kid either, right? I'm no kid. And it's the one thing, too, I got to see them all. That's the one thing I'm lucky about. I saw Billie Jean King at the tail end of her career in the 70s, but I remember waking up as a kid. I remember, like, being inspired and hitting the ball tennis, you know, against the wall and going to the schoolyard and all that. And watching the U.S. Open and Wimbledon and stuff with Bjorn Borg, with Ivan Lendl, with, John McEnroe, Jimmy Connors. Great, just great tennis, epic tennis. That, you know, that's the heyday of tennis. These guys would kill those guys. Let's be real. Novak Djokovic would mess Bjorn Borg up. And I'm a Bjorn Borg guy, man. It pains me.
I'm with you, Gabe, but you know what? Let's have Djokovic play with the same racket.
Thank you. Yeah, with a wood racket. Wood racket.
Rackets were so much different back then. It was like playing a different sport.
They were wood.
You know? The size of those things even looked smaller, man. I would miss the ball. Strike one.
It's a good point. It's like the golf stuff, right? Like, it's like these new golfers and stuff. They can tee it up, right? They could tee it up, But it's like, all right, yeah, let's see you do it with a one iron, man, like the guys in the 50s. You know what I'm saying? It's a little different, a little easier, buddy. You got a custom club, man, made by scientists at MIT and stuff. So, yeah, this is it. So, 24 years, 1,526 singles matches, 1,251 wins, 310 weeks as the number one player in the world. Imagine that. Imagine being the best in the world at something for a day, let alone for 310 weeks. You are the best at a sport in which there are thousands of competitors coming at you. 310 weeks. That's what I'm saying. Like, Novak's great, but he disappears for 2 years. Oh, me Novak. Me lie about COVID. Me Novak. I don't like to play here in this tournament. Federer showed up every week. 310 weeks is the world number one. 103 titles he won. 20 Grand Slams. Zero match retirements. Think about that. 1,526 matches. Never. Never said, oh, I don't feel good. Gotta go. Never once. That's an incredible feat right there. That's an incredible... Hey, Ben Simmons, maybe you should read Roger Federer's biography. Learn about toughness. Accountability. Oh, I don't feel good. Still, you got to pay me, but I don't feel good. I can't play, but you better pay me. 24 years, 1,526 single matches, 1,251 wins, 310 weeks is the world number one, 103 tournaments, championship titles, 20 Grand Slams, zero match retirements. The best there is, the best there was, maybe the best there ever will be. Congratulations on a hell of a career, Rod.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Roger Federer. Late night anger management class continues. College football talk next. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The late night anger management class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morency, kicking it on SiriusXM channel 159. I'm out here 1090 ESPN Radio. Countdown to kickoff continues. College football resumes on a Friday night. A lot of stuff to break down right now. Let's bring in Chris Vanini from The Athletic. Chris, thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us, my man. How you doing tonight?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
So normally I wouldn't open up with the Nebraska Cornhuskers, and I think they get discussed too much as it is, but very interesting football game. A blast from the past with Oklahoma and Nebraska, and an interesting storyline with Coach Joseph, who takes over for Scott Frost. He was at the center of big-time recruiting wars when he played between Nebraska and Oklahoma, and he actually ended up going to Nebraska. So everything comes full circle here for his first game as a head coach. What are you expecting to see from the Huskers on Saturday against the Sooners?
Yeah, well, I mean, they'll run the same offense and same defense. I mean, they've got the same coordinators there. A lot of that stuff has remained the same. You know, Oklahoma is a big favorite for this game for obvious reasons, but they were last year, and Nebraska kept this game very close. And so it's kind of a question now with Scott Frost gone, will the games continue to be close? They've lost like 10 straight one-score games, or will Vicky Joseph kind of just bring something more out of them? You make the coaching change right now instead of waiting 3 weeks and saving $7.5 million. You do it now because you think this team can still make a bowl game, can still turn around the season. Oklahoma's a pretty tough way to start that out, but again, Last year's game was close, so it'll be interesting.
Was it Scott Frost? Like, how do you go 5-22 in one-score games? Was that just an anomaly? Was Frost doing something right? Clearly, the pressure was on. I think he was, you know, the old saying, you know, you're thinking too much. I think he did put extreme pressure on himself. But this isn't a terrible football team, right, Chris? Like, as far as talent and as far as what they can do, they just can't, like, finish games off. They couldn't finish games off. And as you stated, it's 23-16 last year. Because I got to be honest with you, my initial reaction is, man, Oklahoma will kill these guys. But now I'm starting to think, you know, Oklahoma survives, but this will be a close game, and Oklahoma better be on upset watch here, because it might be just this different ingredient. What's your pick for the game? What do you think happens and plays out here?
I think Oklahoma's, what, like 11.5 point favorite. I went with Oklahoma just because I think the coaching change is a lot going on. I know it's on the road, but you know, even last week, Oklahoma was almost trailed Kent State at halftime. So Oklahoma actually hasn't been kind of beating the doors off, but Nebraska just feels like a complete mess of a program. You know, they played North Dakota very close. They give up 600-something yards to Georgia Southern, which was a triple option team a year ago, and they're switching their offense right now. The defense was supposed to be the strength of this team, and last week it very much was not, and I imagine the coaches at Oklahoma saw something about that.
Chris Vanini from The Athletic with us. He's in Dallas, Texas, but he's actually a Michigan State Spartan. And Michigan State go to the Pacific Northwest. They're going to Seattle. They get the Washington Huskies. And the Washington Huskies are 3.5-point favorites in this game, Chris. And it's been a massive topic of discussion throughout the week in the betting world about how. And, you know, in the betting world, there's also big-time traps. I spoke to an odds maker, and he said, you know, if we would have made it 1.5, 2 or something, it would have been really one-sided with Washington money. What are your thoughts on the Spartans heading west, taking on who the odds makers and many obviously feel this is a rejuvenated Husky program right now, laying 3.5 to Sparty?
Well, this is clearly a Washington team that can put up a lot of points now under Kalen DeBoer, the new head coach, Michael Penix Jr., the new quarterback. They scored, I think, more than 40 in both games, I think. I mean, they're not exactly playing world beaters here, but they clearly have something going on offense. And this is a Michigan State defense that was among the nation's worst against the pass last year and is missing several key players to injury that were happening in the first 2 weeks. If you look at last week's game against Akron, Michigan State, Akron was able to move the ball on Michigan State in that first half. They just kept turning the ball over, and so it ended up being like 24-0 at halftime. The game was never close, but I do have questions about the Michigan State offense and whether or not they can – I'm sorry, the Michigan State defense and whether or not they can slow down Washington enough. I mean, this is a Michigan State team that went to Miami last year and won. They've been in tough environments and played pretty well. But I think Big Ten team going out west, that typically doesn't work out well for the Big Ten team.
No, as we both know, I'm a Michigan Wolverine fan, Chris, and I grew up losing in the Rose Bowl. I was like, as a kid, you know, it's not really a neutral field. I figured it out early. Heading west doesn't seem to work out very well for Big Ten teams over the years. So Texas A&M and Miami, this is a football game in which the bettors have just smashed the under. People are talking about this being a smash mouth football game. Aggie and the 12th man, they don't care, man, about over, under. They want to win football games. And I brought up the point on Twitter last week, Chris. I said, yeah, NIL deals are all good and stuff, and you're going to get these flashy players, but you look, you add App State, who are hungrier players. And I'm not equating the loss with NIL deals or anything, but I'm just stating, bro, if you're an 18-year-old kid and you're making $1.8 million, yeah, it sucks your team lost, but you're making $1.8 million. So, it's a slippery slope, and it's a challenge that the coaches are going to have to keep kids on top of it. What do you make about this game here with the Miami Hurricanes? We know that Tyler Van Dyke, a lot of people think he's a potential top 10 pick in the NFL draft. Big time game here for both programs. Miami can really sort of put themselves back on the map, jump into the top 10 with this win. And this would just bury Coach Fisher if they lost, man. What's your take on this one?
Well, as bad as the loss to Appalachian State was, Texas A&M still only allowed 17 points on 80 plays, and two of those touchdowns came off of turnovers. So, I mean, the Texas A&M defense is still a very, very good defense, and we know the offense struggles to move the ball, so I can understand why a lot of people are hitting the under on that. Look, I mean, Jimbo can face all the heat he wants. He ain't going anywhere. His buyout is more than $80 million because of an extension he got last year.
But hey, we thought Frost really was allotted $7 million. People are all $7 million buyout. Yeah, $80 million. Wow.
Yeah. Look, when the LSU job is open, certain agents know how to use leverage certain ways. But look, Texas A&M's in a real tough spot here if they don't fix this offense and fix it quickly, because they've got Arkansas and Alabama and some other tough teams coming up as well. It's not out of the realm of possibility they start the season like 1-5, like, which is pretty wild to think about. So I'm really curious to see if the offense looks any different, if they stick with Hayes King at quarterback. But yeah, a lot of questions around Texas A&M right now.
What are your thoughts on the USC Trojans start? It's difficult due to the, you know, the games that they played. They played Stanford. It's a real team, but not a great team that now. And of course, the home opener against Rice. They get Fresno this week. People talk about their defense. They have been opportunistic with a lot of turnovers, right? There seem to be ball hawks in the secondary. And we can talk about, wow, they haven't really played anybody. Well, they don't really have to play anybody, to be honest. You know, there's a couple of spots. They get Notre Dame later. The Beaver game could be a trap for them. Pardon the pun. I didn't mean that right there. And then you got that Ute game. But buying or selling the USC Trojans moving forward, Chris, are they for real?
I think they're for real. They very much feel like the Lincoln Riley Oklahoma team in that they can score a lot of points and they can't stop anybody. I mean, the defensive numbers are aided in part because they have four turnovers in two games. Like, they've been taking the ball away, but they can't stop anybody otherwise. So they'll be in a lot of, you know, high scoring shootouts. I mean, the offense looks great. I mean, Caleb Williams, all the transfers and players they got there, offense looks tremendous, but the defense has had a lot of problems.
Chris Vanini, The Athletic, throwing it down with us. An interesting football game this week is BYU. BYU and the Ducks going head-to-head, coming off the extended affair against Baylor. What are your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, that Baylor-BYU game was odd because both teams kind of should have won that game earlier. There were a lot of missed field goals at the end. Oregon, I don't really know what to make of them yet. Like, this will be a game that really tells us. I think Georgia's really, really good, and I think Oregon played like a FCS team, I think it was last week. So we haven't yet seen Oregon against a good, not great team, and that's kind of what the situation could be. Bo Nix at quarterback has had his issues, but they stick with him. So this is going to tell us a lot about Oregon. But if BYU wins this game, then you start talking about the possibility of BYU and the college football playoff. You know,
yep.
They've got Notre Dame, and I think Arkansas still on the schedule. So there are opportunities for pretty big wins. And you've already gotten past a top 10 Baylor team. Now you've got a top 25 Oregon team. You get past this one, and suddenly the playoff is something we're going to start talking about with BYU.
Man, these guys have been giant killers over the last couple of years. Chris Vanini with us just for less than a minute left or so. We appreciate your time, Chris. Penn State and Auburn, they played last year. Auburn nearly beat them, man. They were on the goal line. It was first and goal. They couldn't punch it in. I don't like saying, wow, they didn't look good last week. Every football game is different, but San Jose State actually aren't as good as they have been in past years, and they gave Auburn all that they can handle. The question is, can Penn State handle this environment? What's your take? Last game I'll ask you about, what's your take on the Nittany Lions and the Auburn Tigers?
Yeah, these are two very flawed teams at the moment. Like you said, last year's game was really close. It's a game that, if Auburn loses, I think you're going to see a lot of heat pick up on trying to make a coaching change or something like that. So it's a big one for Auburn at home. They're going to do the orange out. They should have a pretty good environment. So it's an opportunity for Brian Harsin to kind of get some people back on the side if they can win it. But offensively, this game could be a bit of a sloppy affair.
I can't believe we're in a week, too. It's like, yeah, coaches on the hot seat. All right, 15 seconds. Speaking of coaches and money and all this, Kelly, Mississippi State, LSU, who you got?
I think Mississippi State is a really good team that we're not really talking about. They should probably be ranked. They could be a top 15 team. It's an experienced team on offense and defense. I think they got something this year.
Chris Vanini, thanks so much for the time, Chris. Enjoy talking college football with you.
Yep, thanks for having me.
The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Sports wagering, real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Level 3 continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci, the Fence, the Punch, the Hustlers, the People of Boston, and everybody else in between. Thanks to Chris Vanini from The Athletic. Great stuff with The Athletic, as always. We got another jam-packed show tomorrow night as well. So I'm looking forward. Listen, I love college football. We love the Saturday action. Last week, I didn't do well. And it wasn't that I lost so many picks. I got back from Vegas, L.A. I was bouncing around all over the place. I was getting geo-block here and there. So in other words, the second I was in an airport and I was able, as soon as I landed, and I was like, oh, yeah, I can actually bet in this place now. And boom, boom, I started to go crazy, like on my cell phone right away, because I finally had access again. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to let me go 500 here, 500 there. I was betting in this in-game stuff, and I kept losing by like a point and stuff. You know what I mean? It was one of those, I don't know, bitching about bad beats. It was just one of those, man, all right, I need over 59, man, but they're at 57 with 4 minutes left, and they wouldn't score again. You know, and it happened 3-4 times in a row, and I was like, damn, I just lost like $1,500 or something in the last 4 hours. And I was like, whoa. But I didn't, you know, whatever. I kept going, and I got a lot of it back on Saturday night. I always end strong Saturday night. I'm a good Saturday night college football better. And I'm not on the air, so I can, you know, I'm sort of focused. I'm seeing the games. I see everything. It's like, all right, this is how I can solve this problem and get out of this and hit that. And then Sunday, we killed it in the NFL. For me, the thing, my point was with college football, it's so cool and there's so many games, but you don't really know what you're going to get. Look at last week. There was nobody on our show. Nobody came up, you know what I mean, and said, oh, yeah, Texas are going to take Alabama to the brink and only lose because they're going to get screwed over by a bad call with a referee and a missed holding call. This should have been a safety, right? Like, you know what I mean? No one saw that coming. Boom. Right? Like, college football is erratic. Like, it's, you know what I mean? The teams are good, but that's the whole problem, like, with win totals in college football. There's no margin of error, right? Like, the odds makers said it. Well, okay, they're going to win this game, this game, this game. Like, if you lose a game you're not supposed to lose in college football with your win total, you're suddenly in trouble. You know, it's suddenly like, whoa, we got no more room for error anymore, right? Like, pro, at least, it's a little bit more consistent. But the thing with college is there's more variety to choose from. So, you know, you're going to have, like, the NFL sometimes, it's like, whoa, man, right? Especially when there's buys. It's like, listen, there's 12 games in the NFL, and they're tough, right? And you've got to make a choice. You've got to bet them, you know, you bet the board, it is what it is. College football, there's going to be 70 games, right? There's going to be 60 games, 70 games, 80 games or whatever with the added games and stuff. So, like, there really is a lot of options if you can show patience and just sort of say, all right, now I'll pass on this, pass on that. We talk about the big-time games because, quite frankly, people want to hear about the big-time games, right? People want to hear about the TV games. But at the same point in time, there are so many TV games in college football that you don't have to bet every one of them. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, yeah, Auburn, Penn State's playing, like Michigan State and Washington. Like, it's not the bowl. There's more football to come. You don't have to bet on every one of them. Right. And also, that's what in-game betting is for. Right. You can sort of take a step back and bet your games and always leave some money for the in-game on a Saturday, because there will be spots where you're going to go, man, I'm jumping in hard on this. Right. You always save money and be prepared to have an in-game bankroll. Very, 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 very important. Very important. As far as I'm looking forward to this weekend. Now, Jimbo Fisher is under a lot of freaking pressure right now. You know, like, it's Texas A&M and the 49ers are sort of in the same situation where it's like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm going to have to go through a living hell press conference like every day for the rest of the season now?
right? Like, if you're Fisher, listen, Fisher's not getting fired. They're stuck with him. They owe him $80 million. So this is, you know, this could get ugly fast. The expectation when all these NIL deals and stuff, they're not coming from like corporations. Some of them are, right? The Hooters deals and whatever. But they're boosters. They're local businessmen who expect to make money betting on the team. So let's cut to the chase, right? They're expecting to get something in return out of this. And, you know, it's just going to blow up. I mean, look at Fisher talking smack with Nick Saban. It's like, bro, you can't even beat App State. Don't worry about Nick Saban in Alabama. The thing is, this is a game in which there's two teams I don't really trust, two programs I don't trust. I've told you before, Texas A&M, sort of like Nebraska, we're going to get back. At least Nebraska was something. Texas A&M was never anything. And I'm old, and they've never been good. You know, they've made a few here and there games and whatever. Like, when's Texas A&M ever really been good? They're one of these teams that people elevate all the time, but they've never done anything. And it happened again this year. The thing is, Miami, I'm not a big Miami Hurricane believer. The Canes are one of these teams to me where it's like, just shut up and prove it, everybody. Not them, but like their backers. Oh, the Canes. It's like, yeah, let's see it. They're like, it's like the Chargers, right? How many people picked the Chargers this and the Chargers that to win a division? And what did I say all summer to everyone? They have to prove it. I'm not just going to suddenly believe the Chargers, you know what I mean? And the same thing with the Miami Hurricanes. But with that being stated, I don't like Texas A&M in this game. I don't think they'll blow Miami out. I think the under move was a smart move. Our boy Paul Bovey got in when it was 48.5. I understand the move here. I do understand the move. Now, looking at these games, as we stated, we're not going to bet every one of them. But as far as the ones that we do like the most, Kansas and Houston, over 58. It's up to 58.5 now, but Kansas and Houston, this game will be a track meet. This game's going to go over the number. Vanderbilt and Northern Illinois. A MAC team just should not be favorites over an SEC team. And Vanderbilt are a much improved football team. As we've seen so far this year, they have an explosive offense that can put points on the board. They have a track star quarterback type kid that struggled a little bit last week against Wake Forest. But listen, Northern Illinois, I know this program well. They're going to just, you know what, Rocky Lombardi and stuff. They're going to try. The thing is with Northern Illinois is they play bully ball. Northern Illinois are like San Diego State of the MAC, like to the Mountain West. Like, you know what I mean? Like in the MAC, a lot of the teams in the MAC are undersized, right? They're not very big. So a lot of teams in the MAC, they're the ones that came up with the big spread offense and stuff, right? Let's spread everybody out. And then the MAC suddenly became this track meet conference because everybody just spreads it out and plays, you know, the run and shoot and whatever. So it's just, you know, a pass-happy conference. But the thing is, Northern Illinois have success in this conference because they play smash-mouth football. And not, you know, none of these teams are really built for smash-mouth football in the MAC. Even though it's bad weather, like, they're not big dudes. So, like, the Northern Illinois have bigger dudes on the line. They just sort of, like, buckle up and smash-mouth this thing. You know, when they pass, it's not a sophisticated passing attack. It's like they'll throw to the open, you know what I mean? Quick save, you know? It's not a sophisticated passing attack. They can throw the ball, but it's not sophisticated. They're a run-first team. That's all good, but you're not going to play smash-mouth football against an SEC team, even if that SEC team is Vanderbilt, who are improved. It won't work out well for them. I don't, you know what I mean? Like I said, I've seen a lot of Northern Illinois games. I know this current team that they have. They're going to try to slugfest this thing out with Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt will just make a play here, a play there. It'll be too much. It'll be too much. To me, it's just you can't be laying, you know, like you're getting an SEC team as an underdog against a MAC team. That's not something that I'm going to pass up. We like Louisville tomorrow. Air Force are laying a ton of points tomorrow. We'll get into this game on game time decisions. It's 16.5. It's sort of one of those. They're going to win, but they're going to cover type of deals. Oklahoma and Nebraska. This is an interesting game. Like I said, I wish Scott Frost was still there because at least I'd know what I'd get from these guys. But it's down to 10.5 right now. I already have Oklahoma in a money line parlay that I played with the Buffalo Bills and a couple other college games. But I'm not fully in love with it. Western Kentucky getting 6.5 points is an attractive play. It's a trendy play, but it's an attractive play. The Hilltoppers should be able to hang with the Hoosiers to the wire here. Indiana, similar to the Vanderbilt situation. Indiana have bigger players, bigger dudes, bigger defensive linemen, bigger offensive linemen, but not by much. And Western Kentucky's speed can hang with Indiana. Like, it's not really a massive physical mismatch. It's a little bit of a physical mismatch, but Indiana's offense isn't really built and poised to pull away. And Western Kentucky's offense is good enough to chip away and stay in this football game. I think this game comes down to the wire. We'll take the Hilltoppers plus the points. The two games that are sort of correlated here, BYU and the Ducks, the Cougars and the Ducks, and the Spartans and the Huskies. Because, like, you know, you have similar, they're both the same point spread. And you'll notice, you'll see, like, on Twitter, you'll see in chat rooms, you'll see people, there's no way Washington should be 3.5-point favorites. Well, then bet against them because your bet didn't move the number. It's the same thing here with BYU, with the Ducks. It's like, oh, my God, the Ducks. Why the Ducks 3.5-point favorites? It's like, all right, well, if it's so wrong, take it. Like, the, you know, what the odds makers are doing here, they're it's like bait car. That TV show where the cops used to leave the door open in a nice car and the keys in the bait car. It's bait car. Like, you know what I mean? Sometimes you have to read between the numbers what they're trying to get you to do. And they are clearly trying to get you to bet on BYU. They are saying to you, well, if you love BYU so much, how come you're not taking them at plus 3.5? They're trying to get BYU money. And they're trying to get Michigan State money. I understand the argument about taking both underdogs. Put it this way. I'm going to be on the side with the book. And the book thinks Oregon's going to win, and the book thinks Washington's going to win. As we stated, we had the odds maker from WinBet on earlier in the week on the TV show, 6 o'clock Eastern, and the radio, Sirius XM channel 159 Sports Grid Radio Networks, and many of the affiliates. But he basically stated that, listen, he's about Washington. He said our power rankings were like Washington minus 1.5. He goes, that's the number that we would have set. But he said if we would have set Washington 1.5, we would have gotten crushed with Washington money. So he said we didn't have a choice. We put it at 3, and it got bet up to 3.5 by the bettors. They took Washington. And then you get a similar situation here. Now, I should note, I'm seeing some 3.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Pop up with this Washington game. It's a really interesting game. I'm really looking forward to this game. Washington, it's one of the games I'm looking most forward to. It's not a great slate of college football from a wow standpoint this week. There's some, you know what I mean? There's some good games, but it's not like, oh, yeah, wow. But this is pretty good. It's almost like the Pressure Bowl. Texas A&M under pressure. Oregon under pressure. Lanning already got smashed by Georgia. He needs to win this game. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Like that anger management class, this is Sportsridge. I am Renzi. All right, listen, it is late right now. especially on the East Coast. So we can't confirm this, but Gallery Sports claim, breaking news, Aggies will bench quarterback Haynes King, Mac Johnson, to start versus the Miami Hurricanes. So we'll find out in the morning. Like I said, no one else has confirmed this or anything. It's late right now. Shout out to Hogwild in Arkansas for sending over, tweeting us right now. What up, Hogwild? And like I said, I'm throwing it out there too, but I'm not confirming this. Not confirming it. I'm looking right now. They've got some retweets. They got 2,000 followers on Twitter. They got a couple of retweets, but they just tweeted this out like less than an hour ago type thing. And it is overnight right now. So something to keep your eye on in the morning here. We're going to be on tomorrow. We got a stacked show, and it's good because we were talking about these games, and I always like to bring on smarter people than us, which isn't hard to find. Jeff Reinbold's going to join us. Hawaii, player development director, former assistant coach, long time. You know, Jeff Reinbold's going to join us. So we'll get his thoughts on going to the Big House last week against Michigan. What does he think about Michigan moving forward? The state of Hawaii's program moving forward. They played Vanderbilt as well. We'll get his thoughts on that. And Brent Beard will join us. SEC talk tomorrow with Brent, Rob Vino, Tony Finn. We're stacked. Ton of football picks. Take the Louisville Cardinal tomorrow night. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.